Welcome to This Family Life, a podcast where parents share their stories on how they organise the chaos of family life. My name's Nicole Avery, and as the host, I have the absolute pleasure of interviewing parents of all family types and sizes to find out the simple things they do to make family life easier and more fun. Welcome to episode 26 of This Family Life. In this episode, I talk to Kate. Kate's based in Melbourne and has three young kids, the youngest of which is only 7 months old. With her last child, Kate only took a couple of weeks off work and was back working into the business that she runs with her husband. With that in mind, you can imagine that Kate does need to be pretty well organised to manage working 3 days a week and having such a young family. So through the episode, she shares the routines and the apps that help her stay organised. She talks a bit about how she runs her to-do list, so she's got a really organised approach about how she uses the to-do list. We talk a bit about how do you keep kids' toys and stuff under control when you've got three young kids that do have a lot of stuff. She goes through some of the daily routines and habits that she uses to keep her life organised and why they're so important to her. She talks a bit about the challenges and some of the benefits from working from home. And we'll also talk a bit about, I guess, the stage of family life that she is in and how that she knows it's a stage and how she really is trying to manage her expectations around that, which I think is really, really sound advice for families. In the episode, she also mentions some fabulous books and a product that she's bought recently to make her life easier. So I've included links to those in the show notes. So you can find those by going to planningwithkids.com/podcast. And here, I hope you enjoy the interview with Kate. Today on This Family Life interview, I'm talking to Kate. Kate is a Melbourne mum and she has three kids. And I'll hand over to Kate to tell us a little bit more about her family.
Hi, Nicole. I'm married with three kids. I've got a little boy who's almost four, a little girl who's 2.5, and a baby who's almost 7 months.
Lovely. Now, three under four, that's a pretty busy day for you. What does your typical day look like?
Yeah, it is a busy day. We sort of, my days are either I have gone back to work, so either I have a work day or a day with the kids. For the days with the kids, I sort of try and run the day the same way all the time. So we do have a bit of a rhythm to our day. My son's an early riser, the eldest one, so our day starts between 5 and 6 a.m. And we sort of all have brekkie at our own times, depending on who's up and what's happening. And then usually what I try and do is have the morning is when we do an activity because we sort of are an early morning family. So the mornings really suit us. So we'll do something. It might be something like going to the beach or going to the park, the library. It doesn't have to be anything too structured. And then we'll come back from that and have some lunch. The kids still go down for a nap. If my son, who's almost four, doesn't particularly want to sleep, he will have some quiet time in his room. And then after they wake up, we'll have the early afternoon is a little bit of a play at home or doing puzzles or anything the kids want to do, playing outside in the sandpit, that sort of thing. And then 3:30 is play school, and that's when I sort of get dinner together. And then we eat an early dinner, and my husband usually walks in the door at about 4:30, and that's pretty much I'll be aiming to get the dinner on the table between 4:30 and 5. And then we sort of wrap the day up with a routine into the evening of having a bath, reading some books, and then off to bed by 7 o'clock. And somewhere along the lines, the baby just slots into all of that as well.
Look, there's so much about that that reminds me of a stage of my life, very, very similar. And I remember I used to just pray to the sleeping gods when I had three kids at home that I would get them to all have their nap at the right time, and I would just do everything possible I could to make sure they would all nap at the same time. How do you use your nap time? When I had a baby, I would often have a nap myself if I was still being woken a lot at night for breastfeeding and stuff. How do you use that nap time at the moment?
Yeah, when The youngest, the baby, is actually quite a good sleeper, so I feel very lucky. So I'm not using that as a nap time. But when he was a little bit younger and was waking me a few times, I was trying to use that as a nap time. Generally, I use it as a time to sort of try and get a few things off my to-do list. So it might be the times that I make a few phone calls when I don't want, you know, three kids trying to speak to me at the same time. Or if there's a little bit of dinner prep I need to get done, I might do that. Or I might do my meal plan for the week. Or that's sort of the time that I'll use to try and get those sorts of things done.
Now, you mentioned to-do list. What sort of to-do list do you use? Because I think we've had a chat over email and before about you have quite a process of how you use your to-do list.
I do. I use the app called Remember the Milk, and it's quite a comprehensive to-do list app, but quite versatile as well. It allows you to sort of create it to be the way you need it to be. So you can do a lot of tagging and a lot of different due dates a long time into the future. And so you can have things that are due in, you know, 5 years so that you don't forget them. And I'm always shocked that when they pop back up and I think, oh, wow, gosh, I was organised. So I use that for my to-do list. And then I also keep a paper diary, which lives on my kitchen bench. And in that, I'll usually write my top three things for the day that I'm trying to get done. And they might be the top three things for work, but also the top three things for home. And they're usually nothing major. It's usually something like, you know, call so-and-so to get something fixed around the house or to book this appointment for the kids or, you know, so. But it just seems to be that some days if I don't do that, it gets to the end of the day and I think, oh, I still haven't booked the dentist or...
I know, and it all starts to build up because once you get three kids, you do have those, you know, you've got three maternal child health appointments to have across the various years, you've got all that sort of stuff. And I guess also with, you know, kids comes toys and clothes and that sort of stuff. How do you manage all of that? Because obviously little people have a lot of little things. How do you keep that organized and not overtaking the house?
I do find I'm a big fan of the sort of simple living. So I'm definitely a colour when it comes to toys. We keep quite a few things that I think are really good, essentials and basics. And then everything else I sort of see as fairly fluid. So it'll come in for a time and then it'll get donated or moved on. I find that if the kids just have too many toys, they actually don't end up playing with them. They just end up in a pile and the kids just sort of ignore it. Yeah. So that's sort of how I try and run. But, you know, it does. There is a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Do you use toy rotation at all?
If it's a toy that I'm something that they are quite attached to, I will do that and rotate it out. But a lot of the times I just find that new toys turn up so quickly anyway that by the time I'd get back to rotating the toys, it was like, they've got so much stuff anyway. We don't need these extra. I just felt like I was saving extra.
Yeah,
you know, between sort of aunts and uncles and grandparents bringing them things, I was like, oh, no more. It can just get moved on.
And so what sort of units and things do you use to store them? Are you a basket person or do you have the plastic containers? What sort of stuff do you use in your house to store the things?
Yeah, so we have the plastic IKEA containers and they sort of have like the Lego and Lego trains, different bits and pieces like that. So I've got about six of those all set up with different things in them and then a couple of other baskets. And then I do have one big toy box and I find that quite handy for sort of the larger trucks and things like that that otherwise float around under my feet all the time that I've got somewhere to toss them.
And so do you have a couple of one of the things I used to do with nap time was while the kids were still up, I'll try and I guess reset the house again before they went to sleep so I could make the best of it. Do you let it go to the end of the day or do you reset the house a couple of times throughout the day?
I do let go to the end of the day. It sounds quite bad, but my husband's really likes things back in their spot. And so I just lean on him to do that sort of thing. I will step over things all day and then at the end of the day he will tidy it all up and I figure that's quite good teamwork.
I think that's great. I think a lot of women out there are going, nice one, I've got to get that happening in my house. So with the three and the ages that they are, how do you manage to spend one-on-one time with kids? Because I think that's a challenge when they're quite little.
Yeah, look, I'm I guess I've never really put a lot of emphasis on one-on-one time. It probably happens quite organically in our family. So my son, who's up quite early, he gets that time then. My daughter will seek me out for, you know, if I'm going shopping on a Saturday morning, she'll ask if she can come, and so she'll come with me then. And then the baby, well, the baby feels like it's just, he's always with me. So, so it's probably not something, and I do sort of wonder if that is a little bit their ages, whereby, you know, it's not as specific, but yeah, it's not been something that I've done deliberately.
I think you're right about the ages. I think it wasn't something I started to focus on until some of them got a little bit older, because I just think, you know, I got, obviously having more kids, it just found that sometimes I just felt they just didn't seem to see enough of me, especially when they go off to school and stuff, because they're away for a long period of time. You know, I guess now at the other end of the spectrum, whereas the teenager is away from school at all the time, and then he's not necessarily wanting to hang out with me anyway, but you just try and you go back to that organic thing again. It is about finding those moments. Like, you know, we went to something on the weekend, and then we just actually went to the supermarket together, and it was sort of hilarious because I let him choose things in the trolley I would never put in there. But it was actually about the moment. It wasn't about going, that's a good food option, that's a less nutritious option. It was actually just about the time, and in that organic way, it happened. If I had said, hey, let's come to the shops with me, he would have just gone, no. So I think that organic thing is really, really important. Now, with the baby, I know when I had my third one, like sometimes you obviously said your baby's a good sleeper, but sometimes I found at a struggle if I was trying to get a baby off to sleep that wasn't wanting to go to sleep with the two little ones around. How do you manage that when you're trying to feed or get the baby to sleep with the other two kids? Are they pretty good about, you know, keeping away and playing?
Look, they're actually not. I found that actually in some ways easier with the third one than I did with the second one, because with the second one, if I would leave my son on his own to go and feed, he would come looking for me and get upset that I wasn't around. Whereas because they've got each other, the two older ones, they seem to be a little bit happier if I will say I'm going to go and feed the baby now or put him to sleep, because I do have to feed him in his own room, because otherwise he's such a distracted feeder.
Especially at that age too, that it's a distracted age, the 7 months mark.
Yeah, that's right. And so they'll just sort of keep themselves occupied. Often I'll give them a snack during that time as well, and then they'll just play or play outside. It's not perfect. Like sometimes they'll come back and they have decided to clean the toilet and they've emptied, you know, the entire bottle into the toilet and there's soap everywhere, and, you know, it's, you just run with it, you know.
You do. And, you know, most of the time it works out okay, so you do sort of roll with it. I used to find snack time was a good one as well. It does sort of work really, really well. Now, when I had little kids, there was often days when I just felt like all I did was prepare food, get the kids to eat, tie it up and start all over again. And I think you're probably very much in that zone. We did morning lunch, afternoon tea, all those sort of things. How do you run meal and snack time with your kids?
Yeah, so definitely some days it does really feel like that. And breakfast is pretty much whenever whoever gets up, because everyone gets up at slightly different times. And we usually do a slow cooker porridge, so it's done the night before, and my husband usually organises that, so that's always handy.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, snacks, I consider snacks to be movable. So we tend to have them in the car or in the pram or when we're on our way to something. And then lunch, we also sit down together. But, yeah, certainly some days are just constant feeding and constant people going, I don't like this.
Oh, I know. And they liked it the day before because they're at that age where they change their preferences on the whim.
Or an older one doesn't like it, and so therefore the younger one doesn't like it, even if it's their favourite food, you know.
I can remember saying to my kids, I know you don't like this, but please don't say it in front of the other child, because then he's not going to eat it. Can you just pretend you like it, and just he won't even notice that you're not eating it? And it's like, what's wrong with me? But
desperate.
You do get desperate. You just want them to eat, because you know that they like it and you want them to eat it, especially if you're going out somewhere or whatever. And I guess already from the conversation we've had and from interactions on the blog, it seems like you're pretty productive and organized the way you go about things. So what are some of the systems or other systems and routines that you've got in place that help you, I guess, organize the chaos of family life with such a young family?
Well, I suppose that I have quite a lot of routines and habits. So in terms of, I do a lot of washing every day. I tidy the kitchen and put the dishwasher on every day. There's a lot of those sorts of things that I just do on a daily basis without question, so that they're not such a big deal and I really don't notice them. They just fold into the day.
Yep.
I do meal plan and I shop sort of once a week, and that sort of carries me through as well.
And I think if you, the more you can fit things into a routine, so, you know, for me, I don't wash every day now. I think that's one of the benefits of older kids and they have school uniforms, so that sort of works. But I certainly know that I have to wash Tuesday and I have to wash Thursday or everything's going to fall apart. So I don't have to think about it. They're the things that I know when I come in from the school run and that sort of stuff, because especially when you've got little ones and they're all on your demands, if you've got 5 minutes, you know the task you need to do, you get it done. It does make life a whole lot easier. And you use the Remember the Milk app. Do you use any other tools or apps that help manage that sort of stuff in the home?
I use Dropbox, so just for filing and storing all of the bits of paper that come through. And I use If This Then That, which is a email sorter. So it tends to, an email comes in and you can set it up so it can automatically action the attachment. And so depending on what the attachment is, I use it for work as well, but sometimes if the attachment's a bill, it'll go into the pile of bills to be paid and that gets batched up and done at the same time.
Wow, I've heard a lot about If That Then Then, but I've not used it. That's actually really made me think about some things that I could do. I find that's excellent. I think I'll have to give that one a go. And is that just used on the computer, or do you use it on your phone as well, or how does that integrate?
No, just on the computer. So that, but it does it automatically. So once you set it up, which is a little bit fiddly to set up, I'd have to say. But once it's set up, yeah, as soon as an email comes into my Gmail, it automatically actions it. Which is handy, you know, if you are getting a lot of, bills.
Yeah, don't we all? So do you set goals as well to help you be organised with home life?
Yeah, I do. I set goals for both work and personal life. But my goals, I have realised with, I suppose particularly with little kids, but especially with babies, have to be sort of very specific. So my goal for like having, while I've got the baby now, is just to accept the situation. I tend to find that with a baby, you have a tendency to want to do more and it doesn't feel like anything's ever getting done, and I can burn myself out pretty easily. So often I have learned over the course of having the three kids that I do have to sort of try and limit myself so that I'm not trying to push myself just too far.
Oh, look, that is such sensible advice. Wish I did that. I am much better now, but I think that there was times when I did push myself, I think. And it's a great goal to have, just to accept the situation, because if you set a goal and you don't realize it, then you just have the whole frustration, or you max yourself out to do it, which means everything else suffers. So I think that's excellent advice. And so you've spoken a bit about, I guess, what your day looks like on a home day. What does your day look like on a work day? And I guess if you want to give us a bit of a background about what you do for work.
Okay. I have been self-employed with my husband for about 10 years, and we run a residential landscaping and a civil construction business. I work 3 days a week. So I work Monday, Wednesday and Thursday. And I'm very fortunate to have my mum to come and look after my kids. So I work from about 7 o'clock till about 2 o'clock each day. And mum comes over and looks after them. And if I need her to stay a bit longer, or I've got a really early morning meeting, she'll come then. And yeah, it's quite a juggle those days, but it is nice that I sort of finish it at about 2, because I feel like I get the afternoon with the kids and we get to do some things. And my kids are sort of always around me, which is how I wanted to parent.
So you're working from home then, Kate?
Most of the time I'm working from home. I have a home office. The exception to that is that I do have quite a few meetings during the week, so I'll generally have to head out to site meetings or sales meetings.
And it is nice. Working from home, I do love it. But I guess there is some challenges with that. What do you find challenging about working from home, especially because I presume your mum looks after the kids in your house, is that right?
That's right, yeah. So my office is actually separate for the house, so I do have a little studio of my own, so that certainly helps. But it is, I guess, that constant pull of other things that you need to get done, but also when you are with the kids, trying to not get distracted by work. And so I do find I actually have to be really quite strict with myself and sort of say, you know, today is not a working day. Like, don't start turning on the computer. Don't try and get just a little bit of work done, because it all that happens is I get frustrated with my kids. And vice versa, when I am actually at work, I try and ignore the household to-do list. So I don't worry about the washing and I don't worry about anything else. I just try and focus on what I'm meant to be doing. Doesn't always work, but that's what I try and do.
And it really is a learned skill. It's something that I've got a lot better at. And I think, you know, you're right, like not even turning on the computer to just do a little bit, because a little bit is never a little bit. And whatever you get done, I just don't think the quality is there either. And the tension just instantly rises the minute that you try to do something with little ones around, with the minute that they'll like pour the milk over or they'll come and see you and sit on your knee. It just doesn't work. Like it just never. And sometimes I can remember what I was trying when I just started to do some blogging and stuff when they were little. I think I'll just do it. And then it was just a disaster. So that's why I used to work at night for so many years, because it was just a better result for me. So you obviously got quite a few nifty tools and stuff. Do you have any specific tools or apps that you use to help manage you for work regarded activities?
I think it's probably a crossover between everything I use for home, I tend to use at work, and they do just cross over. So again, I run Remember the Milk for both work and home. My aim with things like that is that I don't want things, to-do list items, floating around in my head.
Yeah.
And so I really try and work hard to make sure it's all written down somewhere else and I'm not going, oh, I have to do that, oh, I have to do that.
Because it's quite the awful feeling you'll get that sudden thing that you think they're all in your brain. Because I know for a while there I used to think that I could cope with remembering them all, but then there just gets too many and you literally just cannot remember that many things. So, yeah, writing it down or using a system is a perfect way to go.
And I got to the point too with my third one where I did actually start to forget things. I missed entire appointments and important appointments. I just entirely missed them, and I was shocked that I could have forgotten. And it was like, okay, I need to put more things in place so that I don't.
Well, I've got to the point with that, like putting in my niece's and nephew's birthdays and my sister's birthdays and stuff in my diary with a week out reminder and then a day of reminder, because I've forgotten them, which is just awful, because I never used to forget that sort of stuff. And it's not that I've forgotten because they're not important to me. It's just because there simply isn't enough room in my brain to remember them, or I'm getting old and I don't remember them. So I actually have to put all those annual reminders in now, because that way I feel like I am actually staying on top of things. So across your week then, you obviously have home and work, which keeps you, I'm sure, you know, pushed. Do you have time in the week where you do things that you love or that help take care of you?
Look, not really. I'm really conscious when I, during the 12 months while of having a baby, to not put too many demands on myself. When I had my son, I was trying to fit in me time, and it just became another thing that either wasn't getting done, or I was getting annoyed that I couldn't find the time for it, or it became really hard. So now I suppose I sort of focus more on enjoying the really small things. So when I sit down to feed, I really enjoy that time. I usually read on my phone at the same time. I will usually try and get a takeaway coffee once a day, and that's like the one thing that someone else, you know, makes for me, that, you know, the whole experience of it, and the kids are happy that, you know, we're going to the coffee shop, mummy's going to get her coffee, you know, she'll be, this is like a really nice thing for me. So I fix those small things, because at the moment I just don't have the time to do a really large chunk.
Yeah, and I can really understand that. And I think that taking time to enjoy the small things is actually, I love that idea, rather than, because you can actually go through and you can tick a whole bunch of stuff off your list for the day, and then you can go, yeah, okay, I'm going to go off and I'm going to do this, and that's because that's for me time. But you can actually not enjoy it, because you're just going through the processes, you're just going through those steps. The satisfying thing of just being able to sit and enjoy quietly to feed your baby. I can remember some days my favourite time of the day would be that last breastfeed of the day before they'd go down for sleep at 6:30 at night. I'd have the other kids occupied, and just that 20 minutes there by myself for me and the baby, I used to cherish that, especially when, you know, sometimes the feeding during the day would be all over the place and out and here and all that sort of stuff. I used to actually just cherish that, and I think that you can get really focused on the whole concept of me time, and it doesn't have to necessarily be the big thing that people think it is. It's about how you appreciate the time. And I think something like a coffee is just, you know, and you're so right, something that someone else has made for you and you don't have to clean up or anything about it is absolutely super important. Because, you know, as mums, I think we're pulled in so many directions, especially in those early years. It can be really difficult to cope and feel confident with where you're going. How do you cope with that? Being pulled in different directions. Obviously, you've got work because it's at home as well. How do you cope with being pulled in two different directions?
Yeah, it's such a juggle. And sometimes I just feel like I'm doing like a, such a terrible job of everything. You know, some days you just don't feel like you're winning at anything. I must say, I do use friends for a lot of support, and that phone call to a friend who's also doing the same sort of thing, going, oh, you know, my week, it's just been, and to hear a bit of empathy and someone who understands is always nice. But I try and just accept that this is this stage of life. I am going to be behind on things. I'm going to let people down at certain times. You know, this is how it just has to run at the moment, but it's not always easy.
Yeah, and I think that acceptance of a stage of life is super important, because when you've got little ones that are just, you know, they're all just at you and you need them and they need you much more physically and you can't leave them on their own, it's very, very different. Like I just, in a podcast, I was speaking to another mum who's sort of just moved out of that stage, and she's just embracing now being able to take the time to go out and walk on her own in the morning that sort of stuff. But she said, you know, the key to getting through that stage of her life was just not fighting it, but just sort of embracing it and realizing that it does actually pass. And one of the things why I really love to write, obviously as a blog reader, you probably read it, my annual sort of report on the state of family life and does it get easier, because I started writing that post. I had the guy, my youngest was probably not even one, and you'd speak to parents and had teenagers, they go, oh, if you think that's hard, you know, it gets so much harder later on. And I thought, oh my God, don't say that. How could it possibly get any harder? That's just crazy. But, you know, it did get easier, and, you know, and the times does change, and, you know, there is harder parts too with teenagers, obviously, but on the whole, that thing where, you know, every minute of your time is spent with small human beings, that changes, and it actually changes much quicker than you think. So, I think learning to enjoy those small things and just embracing it, that's the stage is, I think mindset has a lot to do with how we enjoy family life, and I think that's absolutely the right mindset to enjoy family life. What books had the biggest influence on you as a parent, and it doesn't have to be a parenting book?
Gretchen Rubin's Happiness Project and her follow-up book about habits. I found just some of the things I've extrapolated that are to do with like as a single, but also extrapolated them to be related to the family. But just in general, her reflections on happiness have really made me reflect on the way I do things, which has helped.
I love the Habits book. Have you done her, is it her tendency quiz? Like I'm an upholder. What did you find yourself
I'm
as?
I'm an obliger.
Are you?
I'm an obliger, trying to please everyone.
Yeah, but I think even, you know, like quizzes, you know, they give you a label or whatever, but I think it's actually really good to understand your own tendency, as she puts it, because if you know that you're an obliger, then it is really to put in some mechanisms to make sure that you actually do give yourself something as opposed to just obliging everyone else. And as an upholder, I need to, you know, I think, you know, some of the things you've said, I sometimes need to just cut myself a little slack that, you know, it's like, it's okay. Yeah. You don't have to uphold to yourself all of the time. So I would certainly encourage readers, if they haven't done that quiz, it's I'll put a link to in the show notes. It's certainly worthwhile doing, and both her books are fabulous. I think they're great recommendations. What's the last item that you've bought that's helped make family life easier for you?
A white noise machine. Goodness, that thing, it's a bee's knees.
Okay, so did you buy that for the baby?
I did buy it for the baby. It's the only thing I bought for the baby because he's the third one. We've had everything.
I know, and I don't get much new.
No, it just cuts out, like he's just more able to sleep without the other kids interrupting him, without when they, you know, when they like really scream, that sort of high-pitched scream, yeah. It was that was waking him, or if they're outside, they're really close to his bedroom window, and it's just taken the edge off that, and now he's able to sleep a lot better, which is good for everyone.
So what does it look like? Is it like a little unit? Is it like a CD player? What does it look like?
Yeah, no, it's like a little sort of portable unit that's about the size of your hand, I suppose, and it just makes like you can pick from five different white noise sounds, and yeah, it's like it's really $30. It's the best $30 I think I've ever spent.
That's fantastic. I know we used to put it, I used to have like a radio in the background of my kids' room when we moved into our new house, because there was just too much foot traffic and all that sort of stuff. And I found that sort of worked certain well, but I think that is an awesome idea. I really like that. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. I'll check that out as well. What advice would you give to a new mum? And it doesn't actually have to be related to babies. It can be something you've learned just in your time as a parent so far.
So far, it's to try and say yes, to make your default position to the kids as a yes. So if someone, one of them comes into the kitchen and I'm cooking dinner and they, you know, I get that little question, can I help mum? I try and say yes, even though like it would be quicker to do it without them and I'm in a rush and everything else. And I just try and find them a job to do and remind myself that it is the things we do every day that really count and not the things that we do occasionally. And there's never a perfect time to sit down and do some baking together or whatever it is. So I just, whenever they ask, I just try and say yes and find them a job and get them to partake.
I love that. And there is stages where I actually will make myself focus on that because I get really cognizant of the fact that I've said no a lot lately. And a lot of the time, the yes isn't as bad as we think, you know, so because sometimes, you know, you're trying to get dinner done quickly and they say, can I come and help? And you just think, oh, no, look, I'm really busy. You know what? It actually is that bad. If you give them that, like you said, you allocate one small task, you know, it might add 5 minutes. And I'm sure we've all got 5 minutes that we could add into that dinner time process. So I think that's just beautiful advice because things don't have to be big for kids to really appreciate it. You know, I know, especially for my kids, you hear them talking about things and it will be that we just did something really small together that they actually remember those small things as well. It's not just the big trips or the big days out. They remember lots of those small moments of time together. And a default setting of say yes is just beautiful advice. So thank you for sharing, Kate. It's lovely to talk to you. And I love, I think I could probably delve your brain quite a lot about some routines and processes from working from home. I think you seem to have that quite nailed. So thanks a lot for sharing.
Thank you, Nicole. It's been good.
Thanks very much. Well, like me, I hope you found some tips to help you organise the chaos of family life in this episode. If you've enjoyed the show, I'd love it if you would subscribe in iTunes. And if you really wanted to share the love, you could even leave us a review for us in iTunes as well. Leaving a review means it will be easier for other families to find the show and they can benefit from the tips too. If you'd like to get in touch, the easiest way to do so is to head to planningwithkids.com/podcast. You can find all my contact details there. Thanks so much for listening to This Family Life.
Jackrabbit FM.
For your ears.
Who is that? Hi, Puck Pass.